Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Bachelor Nation Weekly. Tonight, we are recapping season 22, episode 2. You guys, we had 2 one-on-one dates, a group date with 15 people, and some of the most epic moments I have seen in this Bachelor franchise. I'm your host, Christina Zia. Stay tuned. We'll discuss it all right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I feel like we should try and do that again in Crystal's voice.
The buzz is mine.
Oh my god. You guys, just wanted to start this episode off with just as much shade as we can possibly give.
Absolutely.
You guys, I'm your host, Christina Zias. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is one of my favorite episodes, honestly. So we're so happy that you're either watching, listening, chatting with us right now. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight I have Sterling Cates with me.
Hey guys, I'm Sterling. You can follow me everywhere at Sterling Cates.
And Christine Alexis.
Oh, thanks,
girl. Hello.
Hey guys, I'm your host, Christine. You can find me all over social media at Christine Mean, 3 E's.
Who knew Ari was going to bring, like, the best season ever?
For real. I got to say, tonight really changed my opinion on the season already.
Yeah.
Already.
Okay, well, I don't know about that. The night ended on the right note.
Yes.
However, when we started the episode, I was so unattracted to Ari. I was like, he needs to, like, stand up straight or, like, put his shoulders back. Like, he just seemed, gosh, and I feel bad saying this, but, like, very feminine. And I didn't understand what he was doing. He seemed like he had such a strong connection with Becca, but they didn't have one conversation with each other. So I'm so happy that it ended on such a strong note.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, I was like, what are we watching here?
Started really weird. But let me clarify, not best season ever, but the girls for me,
the casting is on point.
It's great TV, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he's contributing to that much, but the contestants are here to play.
They came to play. Yeah,
for real.
They really did. Okay, so tonight we started off with a one-on-one date, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish I had the statistics on this, but I feel like the first person who gets a one-on-one date often wins.
Yeah.
That happened with Caitlin and Sean, right?
Right.
Vanessa. Did she get the first one-on-one date?
She did.
She did, right?
She got the first impression, Rose. Didn't she?
No, Rachel did.
Rachel did. That's right.
But it definitely happened with Ben and Lauren. Chat roll, if you guys know what the statistics are on how often the Bachelor or the Bachelorette chooses the person that they give the first one-on-one date to, please let us know because I would love to know that. But anyway, so this date, for me, I feel like this is like kind of like a guy's worst nightmare, at least the first half of the date, because how many guys like love going shopping with their girls?
I mean, I completely appreciate his intention of making her feel spoiled and that whole thing. I mean, if someone wants to give me Louboutin shoes and, you know,
Lubes, guys. Yeah. Louboutins.
And all those jewels. I'm like, that's cool. But, yeah, it was very weird considering they've never really, that we've seen, had a conversation to where he was like, know that he loves all these things about her personality and stuff. I would have liked, like, a substantial conversation and then maybe, like, a little spoiling.
That threw me off, too, because he's like, you're just so smart, and I just knew you'd be the person to appreciate this, and it wouldn't fall on deaf ears. Like, all the things he was saying, I'm like, damn, dude.
Did we miss something?
Yeah. I'm like, when did this happen? And yeah. I also feel like, from what we've seen of Becca K so far, she seems very, like, not goofy, that's the wrong word, but just comfortable with herself and very lax. Like, I didn't even think that she would enjoy something like that. Like, it seemed like they would do something a little more, like, playful, but...
I mean, but at the end of the day, like, what girl wouldn't enjoy that?
True.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
true.
You're getting a full wardrobe. You're getting styled by Rachel Zoe, and which I think was a big miss because I don't think they showed enough of Rachel. And she has such a fun personality. Like, she should have played it up with the couple more than she did. Or maybe she did. We just didn't see it. But I thought that was a big miss on ABC's part.
Yeah, she really wasn't involved
much in
the process of... Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe just a name drop. But to me, that date seemed like... they were already together. And that's something that they would do later, like getting ready for their anniversary or something.
Right.
It seemed very weird that it was that much pomp and circumstance for their first date.
Well, both of these first dates were a bit much for a first date.
But with Becca's in the beginning, I almost felt like they knew each other already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they just have a connection.
Maybe they do. I don't know. One of my favorite parts was, and by the way, the date card said, Becca, hold on tight, was that they rode on a motorcycle together. Have you guys ridden on motorcycles before?
Once,
a really long time ago.
Okay, so my husband has one, and I love taking it out. However, it is not, you don't get to conversate with someone. It's not like you're driving in a car, right, like listening to music, holding hands together. You're like holding on tight. It's like loud, it's windy, and you can't really talk to each other. So all the girls like running out being like, I'm so jealous. Like she gets to hold him tight and like ride behind. I was like, you don't know what it's like to be on the back of a motorcycle because it seems like way sexier and more romantic than it actually is.
What was that comment that Chelsea made about she loves being behind people and grabbing tightly? I was like, what?
Yeah, I wrote it down that she had a weird motorcycle quote. And I was like, girl, inner thoughts. Like, don't say that out loud.
It wasn't even about being jealous. It was a very like oddly like something sexual about being, comment, but not really because it fell flat. I don't know.
Yeah. Like about being behind things that go full throttle or something.
And right. Like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. I love being behind things.
The only other thing that I own that makes that much noise is like my blender, and I wouldn't hold on to it for like a ride.
Wait, that's hilarious. You guys, before we continue, I forgot to announce this real quickly. For those of you that are listening and for those of you that are watching, we have our engineer here with us tonight, Jeff.
Yes.
And you guys heard him on last week's panel, and so many of you said that you loved him, and like he's going to be with us all season. He watches the show. He's awesome. He's the male voice on our panel. So sorry for the late introduction, but Jeff, please introduce yourself.
What up? Hey, thanks for the intro, Christine. I'm really excited about this season. For those watching live, the joys of live production is we did have like a 3-second weird thing at the beginning with the video. But hey, that's the fun of being live. I can't wait to be here with you guys. I got to say, I kind of agree with you, Christina, about a motorcycle intro seeming romantic, but there's no conversation. I will say, interestingly, that was probably only like a 5-minute ride because they're probably in Malibu and they just went straight to the beach. But yeah, that was interesting.
Jeff, what did you think about their first date and him watching her try on clothing?
You know, I was trying to think of from my perspective. The one nice thing as a guy is you know she will love it. Like, I don't know in terms of a date how much they actually got to talk or hang out, but that's a great way to win over a girl quickly. So I think from that perspective, it was a win. I was reading online, too. That's going to be a win for her no matter what because she gets to leave with, like, $6,000 worth of amazing clothes. So.
And the jewelry and the shoes.
Just the earrings.
Yeah, just the earrings, not that necklace, though.
Well, it's so funny because when they brought in the Neil Lane jewelry, I'm like, damn, Neil Lane, the amount. I mean, he's been working with them for what, like, 22 seasons,
right? Yeah.
And it's just so funny. As soon as I saw that, I was like, she is not keeping that. Because you know they barely even get to keep the engagement rings unless they were engaged for 2+ years.
Which never happened.
Which never happened.
Yeah.
So anyways, I love that he made it a point to say that she got to keep the earrings.
Yeah. I know, that's great. On the first date, good for her.
I think I said this last week, and just a trend through the Bachelor franchise, when you get to give somebody like a gift or some sort of keepsake, those things tend to go a long way. And usually the winners or like the final four or two or whoever have some sort of keepsake from the Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yeah, Brian got the watch.
Season. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we did see that. I love that she got to stroll into the house with all that stuff.
And her Louboutins.
Right. And her Louboutins. And she got to change there and get ready at the house. And I just feel like it was like the perfect amount of jealousy just to like kind of rile the girls up.
Yeah. She couldn't even hide it if she wanted to.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
But not in the way that like Crystal was trying to be mysterious. Like, come on.
No, it was good. Stop. And honestly, even though I thought the first part of their date was so awkward, I loved the second part. I thought their like one-on-one time where they actually got to talk made so much sense.
I thought they had a chemistry and a connection, and their conversation about family, it seemed like they were on the same page, and it felt, unlike most one-on-one dates, it didn't feel awkward or forced to me. So
yeah,
I thought I liked them together.
I think Becca's personality really shined through. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this girl seems fun and chill and like here for it, you know what I mean?
She seems like someone I'd want to be friends with, honestly.
Totally.
Just from her, like, the way she carries herself and how easygoing she is. I think she's going to go far.
I think she was, like, as different as we can get from the second one-on-one date, who is Crystal. Who, I don't know about you guys, but if you saw us watching this episode, it was, like, cringeworthy the entire time. I am not ashamed to say that I am not here for Crystal at all.
I don't know how I did it, but I made it through the one-on-one. There was a couple of times where I was about to get up and be like, I'm going to go get some popcorn. Let me know when this is over.
Before Sterling straight up said, there's no way I can watch Crystal on a one-on-one date. And then she got Crystal on a one-on-one date.
Yeah, before that even happened, I was like, please, God, it's my birthday. Please don't let me have to watch this. She seems genuine in the moments where she actually opens up about her family, when she went home with him and all of that. And she's like, you know, I've never had this. Those little moments where I'm like, oh, wait, there's a glimpse of a real human in there. Mm-hmm. But the other parts where it's like all whispery and, I don't know, hi. It's like, I don't believe you.
I don't believe her either. Yeah. And I even felt bad at first during their one-on-one, even, you know, silently making fun of her to myself just because her voice, because her story is...
It is sad. It is sad. It's hard, yeah.
And I'm not going to take away from her life experience or anything like that. Totally. But within the context of the show and where we're at, like, you're really hard to be likable when you're putting on a voice and just... It just came across, it wasn't transparent to me. Even, like, when she sat down with his parents and with his family, I was like, I just wasn't feeling it.
See, I honestly thought she brought out the worst in him. Like, I feel like we've seen villains where at least they have good chemistry. Yeah, but I felt like when you look at Ari with Becca versus Ari with Crystal, this version of Ari was so much worse and more awkward, and especially in his school. Christine, I interrupted you. You take over. But
I agree with you, Jeff. I would say the only part that I think Crystal kind of redeemed herself is when she was at home with Ari, at least for me. Because she did try and make an effort to talk to his parents. And I felt like what she was asking them, like...
How'd they meet?
Yeah, like, they were, like, legitimate questions. And it was cute. And she was trying to get to know him the best she can. In, like, a very awkward situation.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Ari, like, for real, you just brought her home on their first one-on-one date. Like, week one. So, that's intimidating for anyone. And I think she did handle herself well in that situation. The rest of the date, like, I could not stand her. But I think she did a good job with his family.
I would have rather seen Becca on that one-on-one date than her getting dressed up.
Why do you guys think that he chose Crystal to bring home?
I really don't know, but he seems like he was comforted in that moment where they did the little breath thing on the first episode.
He did bring that up. I'm curious, maybe he brought her back to see if she's as composed in that kind of situation as when he met her. Because he did say, like you said, that she made him feel calm, and she has this aura about her that makes him feel calm, and maybe putting her in that situation might have made him see something else about her that he wanted to see.
He mentioned feeling comforted by her, and he also mentioned later that he wanted his mom to see that he was going to be okay. So maybe he was thinking that Crystal could somehow comfort his mom to know that this process is going to work out or whatever. If that were me as a mom, I'd be terrified even more.
If Crystal showed up?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh my God.
Are you kidding? You
know? I wonder if the producers, too, like the idea of pairing the girl with the troubled backstory with her family into the situation of the guy with the very stable family background.
Right.
There's good TV kind of built into that, I think.
I totally agree with that.
And in the chat role, Amaya Baker brought up a really good point. She said, oh, wait, where'd it go? She said something along the lines of, I think Crystal is trying. She said, Crystal seems like she's trying too hard, but I think it has to do with her upbringing.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely a valid point. You see this guy who seems like he has it all together. He comes from a great home, a great family, and you were not brought up that way. And I mean, I'm sure like that's something that she's probably insecure about all the time. But then again, like thrown into this situation, those insecurities probably flare up, you know?
I think she's just trying really hard to seem like she has it all together, which none of us have it all together. So that's fair, but I don't know.
But even, like, transcending their date, just how she acted during the cocktail party and in the house, like, she does really just seem like she's trying super hard to get him to like her, which I get is part of the show, and I don't want to sound stupid by saying that, but just, like, please like me? Like, that's too much. Like, just, you come from that background, he acknowledged that, like, just bring your A game to him, because you're marrying him first and foremost. Then you get to the family and all that. Like, make sure that he actually likes you for you.
Do you guys think that her issues and the way she brought up and her, I guess, lack of family, do you think that would be a red flag to Ari and something that he wouldn't be interested in?
Well, he told Becca in their conversation that was something that was so important and that they connected because they both were very close with their families. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he didn't say that to Crystal. He said that what she went through made her the amazing woman that she is now, which, to be fair, he doesn't really know her that well, but, you know.
I kind of feel like it would be a deal breaker for him. I know.
Sorry, I'm really shady right now. I apologize.
No, that was great. That was great.
What do you think, Christine?
I mean, maybe, like you said, it helps him connect with one other person, but I don't think it should work against her, honestly.
I hope that he doesn't use that against her for sure. And he did say later he would like, when they were dancing and that stuff, he would like to be able to be the one that provides for her and give her that.
Yeah, that was a nice moment for him.
Which I thought was super sweet of him to say.
It was.
Yeah.
It really was.
I think it's about building something new with that person. They could create the family that she never had together, and that could be something beautiful.
I agree with that.
I agree, but I don't think that's going to happen. Sorry, Crystal. I feel so bad for you. Okay, anyways, on to the group date. Okay. When they were reading the group date card, I was like, how many girls are left in this house?
We were like, hold on. This person, how many? What?
Okay, so ready? Are you guys ready for this? 15 girls. Mikkel, Marique, Tia, Valerie, Annalise, Lauren G, Kendall, Becca, Jenny, Cien, Jenna. Oh, shit, I wrote Cien twice. Caroline, Brittany, Viviana, and Chelsea. And it says, let's hit love head on, Ari. If I were one of the four girls left in the house, I'd be like, what is wrong with me? Seriously. I mean, I don't know.
Like, should I just leave now? Because I couldn't even make the list of 15.
Why do you guys think he chose to have 15 girls and not split it up?
I honestly have no idea. How many are usually on these things?
I mean, like eight.
Right.
Like half. Math.
Half. Yeah. Like, it would make sense. If there were eight, that'd be like half of the girls were left in the house. But maybe he just really needed to like figure.
Maybe they needed that many for the actual date.
Maybe.
Like the game wouldn't have worked with just eight people.
It did kind of feel like a field trip, though. Like, it felt like a teacher taking their students to, like, visit a demolition site. There were so many.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
He just wanted to see have as many girls as possible watch him roll in on that car.
I mean,
he needed a big audience.
It worked. They all were, like, creeping at him through the window.
Do you guys have any standouts from the dates? No one that strikes the bell.
Well, with that many. Well, I mean, Annalise obviously started crying.
Yeah.
That was not a positive standout for me, but that whole story was just, I mean, I don't want to undermine her trauma she experienced as a child.
Sterling, please. Are you serious?
We were waiting for it, like.
I'm sorry. I mean, obviously everyone handles trauma differently, and maybe it really was such a bad experience. But
we need to talk about that. But we need to talk about the footage that ABC used to describe.
You mean the stock footage where they like blurred out some random girl's face and tried to pretend it was Annalise? Are you talking about that footage?
Yeah.
Because that was ridiculous.
Oh, that wasn't real actual footage of her childhood?
Newsbreaker.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, man. Jess doesn't get better than that.
ABC. Do you think we're being mean, Jeff, or do you think that Annalise
I want to be the good person here and try to have sympathy. But,
okay, but how do you really feel?
Well, it's hard when the show presents it as hilarious as they did. The show rarely does this where they actually edit in over the top stuff like this, and I was cracking up. This was so funny.
I think they knew, like, you know, it's just going to be meme-worthy. Like, people are going to make fun of it anyway. Like, I feel like they're just giving us really good material this season.
There were a couple of times tonight where I felt they were doing too much. You know how in Bachelor in Paradise, they make it very, like, parody and they make fun of themselves, kind of.
They kind of start doing that.
Super corny, super cheesy, but on purpose. I feel like they were doing that with this. Like, the opening scene with him on the motorcycle and him put the glasses on.
Yeah.
And then this montage and stuff. It's just getting a little too cheesy.
Yeah. On your note though about standouts from this from the group date, definitely Cien, who was freaking drop dead gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
And yeah, she kind of flew under the radar for the first part of the date too, because you didn't really see her till she won. And Brittany, because she like went for it and had fun. So they stood out to me definitely.
I was so impressed by Cien when they started to have their conversations and we got to learn a little bit more about her. I'm like, okay, I have a girl crush, like, officially.
Same.
She just was so much more than just a beautiful face, and you got to know her a little bit more and, like, see where she came from. And I don't know. I think traveling is the best education.
Right.
So I'm always just enamored by people who are worldly, just in general.
Right.
So I really liked her, and I just felt like she was so confident and
very
cool
composed.
And collected. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was super humble, too, even though you would never know that she went to Yale and has done all these things. And then she was like, yeah, it was interesting, you know? Like, and it's like, no, that's actually really awesome.
Yeah, like, us common folk, I don't have that experience.
Right. So. And she was the Derby winner, so girl could bring it.
Well-rounded. I like her.
I was happy that she won and got the rose because I thought she was beautiful from night one, and we didn't really get to see her, so now knowing she's going to at least stick around for one more episode, I'm, like, totally team CN. Like,
I think she's going to be around for a lot more than one episode, to be honest with
you. I hope so.
Yeah.
I also really like Tia. We didn't get to see too much of her, but in her interviews, I just think she's funny and just cool and chill, and I hope she sticks around more, and I hope we get to see more of her.
Yeah.
I feel like he might take her on a one-on-one date next week.
There was a little clip of him telling her that she's his type.
Okay,
and that
so
really
maybe,
quick,
yeah.
like, montage of the date. So I think there will be more to her storyline here.
What did you guys think about Chelsea once again grabbing him first? Christine, what was your thoughts when you first saw that happen?
That, and for our listeners, it was a deep eye roll. Because, I just thought it was, like, too aggressive once again. And I also didn't realize until this point that she hadn't told him yet that she had a son. So I can see the intent in that conversation. I get that. But when they, you know, when Chelsea walked back into the cocktail party, I think it was Marique kind of said what everyone was thinking that, or at least what I was thinking rather, that, you know, regardless of the fact that she's a mother, it doesn't also discount what everyone else has given up to be there. And I thought that was a good moment in the episode to just kind of like bring things back and put things into perspective of where everyone was at that point.
I just want you to know that Sarah Brockle said that she's going to make a gif out of your eye roll.
Oh,
yes. Please do it.
Yes. Shout out to you, girl.
I agree. She probably shouldn't have been the first one to grab him. But at the same time, like, I appreciate the fact that she's, like, just gets in there and she's, like, quick and swift. And, like, you see what happens if you're, like, waiting around the entire time to talk to him. So she did it. And I'm very happy that she had that conversation with him about her son, Sammy.
Right.
And now the mystery is gone, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I don't care that she grabs him first. I mean, I think that shows that she's taking initiative. And I know that the rest of the women in their house are like, well, I don't know. But they could grab him first.
That's true.
If they wanted to.
And it's also kind of hard for me to hate her as much at this point, considering the other women in the house now
right,
who have
yeah.
taken over that villain role much quicker. Like, I thought it was going to be straight up Chelsea going forward. And that's not to count her out yet.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, Chelsea definitely made some weird comments in general, like that motorcycle one and then a couple others. But tonight she wasn't in the spotlight for me as much as some of, like, Bibiana.
It's funny how polarizing she is because Misha C in the chat role said, I'm sorry, but I want to throw a bag of Chips Ahoy at Chelsea. You have a kid and you think you're special? Shut up. But then Liza Batista said, I think since she's a mother, she definitely trumps, like, what the other girls have left. So...
no, see, I don't like that.
I'm, like, kind of on the fence. I mean, I don't think it necessarily trumps it because everyone has something going on in their lives. But I can understand why maybe to her, she feels like it's a little bit more important. Like, she has a family at home, and she's trying to find a father. It's, like, I think that is different than just trying to find a husband. She's trying to find a husband and a father.
I agree, Christina. I mean, like, whether or not it's fair, like, I think... I understand why she's using that card the way she is, because it is her son. And she did... you know, I mean, it's a big decision she made. And I think he understands that. And he's dated other moms before. So that's really interesting.
That is.
Yeah, I think it's an advantage for her because he likes moms.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And he's lived with a mom of two before. Which I didn't know. And I
didn't know that either.
I'm so glad that Jeff brought that up because I actually put note of that that's more of us getting to know Ari. I didn't know that about him. And I appreciate those moments where we get to see a little bit more of his personality and more of his backstory than what ABC is just trying to show us, you know?
And definitely. I appreciate the fact that Ari's willing to step in as a father figure for single moms and their kids. I think that is a really good quality.
Daddy Ari.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. I think, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that scares a lot of guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a little older, so maybe that's part of the reason it doesn't scare him quite as much. But I agree, Christina, too, because it was nice to find out anything about Ari.
Yeah.
Like, I do feel like this far along, I don't know this guy at all. And, like, so, like, learning a thing that, like, oh, he, like, might marry a woman with children felt huge because it was a thing.
Right.
Yes,
Is it bad, though, that we went on a hometown date this week and we still know nothing about Ari?
See, actually, I disagree. I feel like we know more about Ari than we know about a lot of other of past Bachelors. And I feel like he's doing a great job about letting us into
who he is.
I feel like we're learning more.
A little?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He brought a girl on his hometown date. He showed us where he lives. We went into his closet.
We met
his parents, like, his brother. Exactly.
We saw his bed.
We went to, you know. We learned that he worked at Pizza Hut. Like, I feel like we're learning more about him.
Okay.
We know about his career. I feel like we do know a decent amount about him. And in all fairness, none of us watched Emily season, which we really need to do. And I feel like if we did that, we'd know more about him. So,
yeah.
Okay.
True.
You know who knows a little bit about him? Becca. They were swapping. Lots of spit. That was some insane makeout session.
That was very intimate. I almost felt like we shouldn't be watching.
We shouldn't.
You know?
I felt very uncomfortable. I was like,
I know.
A little bit of this going on. Like, oh my God. But, okay.
The young one coming in high.
I know.
One thing I wanted to point out about that, I think they have that same kind of, well, not exactly like, but like how Nick and Corinne had that like very physical chemistry right off the bat. I feel like he has that with Becca, but not in like a sleazy way. Like,
yes, agreed.
You know, like not in the way
not
that
in like the
whipped cream on my titties type thing, you know, but
we're
like
talking short hair Becca, right?
Yeah.
Short hair Becca M.
Okay. Yes.
Becca M.
I'm a fan. I got to say, I thought this was like kind of hot. I'm going to be honest.
It was hot.
I think I'm a fan too. They definitely have chemistry, so.
Yeah, and she's so cute, and she's just working it. She knows she gets him, like, riled up.
I also think it's a good balance of, because, you know, sometimes with Brian and Rachel, we would complain about there would be no conversation. We'd literally just watch the makeout.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have a cute conversation and good conversation, so I appreciate
that. Like they just they have as much conversation as Rachel and Brian. We just like her better than we like Brian.
That's fair.
Kind of. I feel like that's the... But because they were like literally all they did was make out. They said a couple cute things. Yeah. They did, I guess.
Even when they were talking, they were like this close. Yes. Like, we're going to get this going so that we can kiss. Like,
Does it make you uncomfortable?
I'm here for it.
Does it make you uncomfortable that she's 22 years old and he's 36 or no? Is that not an issue?
No.
I keep forgetting how old she is, to be honest.
I don't know why. For some reason, when they were making out, I was like, oh, she's a child.
You think that's too young?
I mean, she was.
I don't think in general
it is. If we want to, like, get, you know, down to it, she was probably, like, 17 when he was on Emily season.
Yeah. I mean, younger than that. No?
Well, if it was 5 years ago, am I doing
right
now? I
guess the math does. I guess if it was 5 years
ago. I don't know
when
her birthday is, so it's hard to say exactly, but she'd,
My fear with them is that, like, it's very much almost a fetish thing for both of them. Like, he loves dating a younger girl, and she loves making out with the salt and pepper older guy.
Yeah.
And we see the physical chemistry, but when you look at Becca number one's date, they had so much, like, personal chemistry.
Right.
I'm not sure how much short hair Becca and Ari are going to make it like past. Very physical.
That's true.
Yeah, they have to build on something.
It's Becca. I always forget the other Becca's initial. It's Becca M.
Okay.
Becca K is Jennifer Garner, and Becca M is the nanny that Ben Affleck has the affair with.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Sad.
So that means it'll fizzle out real quick.
Exactly. That I'm sorry, but that's what I saw the entire time.
That is such
it
a good analogy.
It was hot, but sorry, Jennifer Garner. Okay. Oh, Bibiana. She had such a great moment at the end of the show, but we cannot forget her little temper tantrum on this group date. Girl, you kept saying how persistent you were, but you did not get up to talk to him. So I was so confused by what she was saying.
I was too, because she, in what we see of her, she seems so confident, all this stuff, but I think she's not taking initiative to go talk to Ari. She's letting the other women go in front of her. You know what I mean? And so she needs to just be like, no, I'm going to go see him now. You know, and so instead of blaming it on all the other women, it's like, just get in there, you know?
I think she's scared.
And I think he makes her nervous because she doesn't know anything about him. And I think she just has this idea in her head that this is going to work out. We're going to get married. But they've only exchanged two words.
See, I don't think she thinks that because she kept saying, I need to talk to him to see if I can, like, actually have a connection and like him, which I love that she says that.
Yeah.
Because so many women who come on the show are like, I love him, but
that's true.
They
just a lot of pressure going into this conversation. Yeah. Like, this conversation could make or break my time here.
Right.
I think you both make really great points. Like, I do love that she's like, you know, very present in this experience that it is about her too. She has to know that he's right for her.
Yeah.
And I think that honestly speaks to her realness. Like, at least she's keeping that part real. But their conversation, like, she has to maybe ask better questions. Like, I think they talked about his dog. It could also be the editing, but, like, yeah. I felt like, okay, if you do get that time, though, like...
Well, that was, like, the second. That was during the rose ceremony.
Right, I'm, yeah. I'm skipping ahead. I'm sorry.
But for the group date, she didn't even talk to him at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and she just stormed off and told him not to follow her. Yeah.
And told the cameras not to follow.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So...
Yeah.
But, Christine, what you were saying at the rose ceremony, when she did get a second to talk to him... She was like, well, what should I ask you? It's like, girl, we've been talking all night about you getting a time. You at least have to have, like, an opening question.
For sure.
Yeah,
because... It could be anything. So, do you have any siblings?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or, like, I want to find out if, you know, we have the same kind of upbringing. That was a big thing on this episode.
Right.
Do we have a similar family life? Does he want to start a family? Could we have kids one day? You know, like... Kind of heavy questions, but also, like, something to start with.
She redeemed everything, though.
Yeah.
Talking to Crystal.
Before we get into the rose ceremony, really quickly, I want to go back and talk about Crystal when she got back from the group date, because I feel like that'll lead us into the rose ceremony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That girl was so obnoxiously shady and just coy for no reason. Like, you could have said a little bit of something. First of all, your relationship is just beginning. You do not have a relationship. You had a date. There is a difference between a date and a relationship. I mean, am I wrong? And... if I were one of those girls in the house, like, I don't know what I would say to her. I don't think I'd be able to control myself. I'd be like, obviously it wasn't that good if you can't give us any information about it.
Ooh, burn.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think it is super shady. And there's a difference between, I don't know, in real life, I guess you do go and, like, tell your real friends about dates and not, like, everyone that you don't know. But you've got to understand, this is the show that you're on. Part of your job here is to, like, explain what happened. Tell us about it.
Girl talk. But I feel like there's a way for her to be like, oh, actually, he took me home to Scottsdale. I saw his home and I met his family and it was a lot of fun. Plain and simple, that's it. She didn't have to be like, and then he took me to pizza and then we went to his high school and then he kissed me under the willow trees. And then, you know what I mean?
Right. It doesn't have to be detail by detail, second by second, but she could have given more, like, it was good.
I actually, now that you say that, I think she's, like, fronting, like, that's her strategy to be, like, coy. I think she actually doesn't know what she's doing. Because she probably could have said something like that and was like, damn, I don't know how to lie to these girls.
Yeah.
So I'm just not going to say anything. And it was corny.
She's like, just
it was just really
breathe
awkward.
Breathe in and breathe out. And you'll all get your turn. I can't with her. Oh, my gosh. I'm such a brat. Oh,
well, and you know she's running the risk, too, of becoming that girl. And all the girls are going to tell Ari that she's shady. And when you play the game, you're not only dating the bachelor, but you're also dating the rest of the house. And
yes.
If you betray the house, I see this narrative playing out like it always does, where they go to him.
And tell him everything.
Yeah. I really see that coming soon.
Good call, Jeff.
They're real setting it up really nicely, though.
But she's setting herself up.
Yeah.
Because, so we go into the rose ceremony, and at this point in time, Becca Kay has a rose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crystal has a rose. Cian has a rose.
Mm-hmm.
Three roses. And
I have a rose.
And Sterling has a rose.
Has a rose.
Guys, Sterling, if you're watching, look at Sterling's rose. It's way more beautiful than the one given out
on
the rose ceremony.
Yeah, I accepted Christine's rose tonight.
Tomorrow is Sterling's birthday, so.
It is. Yay.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Sterling.
Thank you.
Y'all can sing later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was my Crystal impression.
No, I feel like she's...
Breathe in and out first.
I think it'd be more like... Wait, hold on.
We're so awful, guys. We're not trying to shame us.
Happy birthday, Sterling. No, is that it?
Well, that was really special. I'm going to watch that.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh. We're so mean tonight.
Yeah, okay. We need to
No, but right, whatever.
Reel it in.
We're accurate. So I feel like I couldn't imagine what it's like to be in a rose ceremony. The pressure is probably so real. I think what Ari did a great job at doing is stealing Brittany away first and making her feel special.
I love that.
It was such a highlight for Ari. And I feel like as this episode progressed, I was like, okay, like, first I was so unattracted to him, and now we're, like, starting to peel back the layers. And he seems like he is a great guy, and it was such a nice thing to do. And to make her feel special by giving her that hardcore certificate, that was awesome.
So cute.
Yeah.
Very thoughtful. I agree about, we're getting to know more about him, but he's also super sweet and has said really genuine things that I think have connected and made the girls feel like comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. He seems like a gentleman.
Yeah. He seems like the very like sentimental sweet type rather than the like in your face, corny, like, playboy, yeah. Like Nick, no shade, but shade, you know? So that was definitely cute because he didn't have to give her the certificate. He could have just been like, hey, girl, you okay? Like, you're good. All right. But that was sweet.
Yeah.
Other than Brittany, and I feel like we didn't see many conversations at the rose ceremony. It was mostly about Bibiana and Crystal.
Right. Yeah. And Kendall's taxidermy.
Oh, goodness.
I was actually, like, banking on that coming up a little later in the season. But she brought,
I mean, just putting out all your true colors out there.
But here's the thing. Like, you bring two suitcases. Like, what animals do you have stuffed in there? Because
that was probably in her carry-on.
Yeah, the producers probably gave her another suitcase just for that, so they could have this scene.
Shipped it ahead. It was a priority mail. Yeah. You know.
I love how Ari's like, well, everyone has their own thing or their own hobbies or whatever.
Okay.
But that was weird. But
that was cute.
I feel like Crystal, Kendall will last one more episode.
Yeah.
And that'll be all.
I think she has, like, this underrated, like, girl next door thing to her that I think Ari actually really likes. Mm-hmm. I think she'll make it past more than next episode.
You think so?
Just for that reason alone.
Well, I would like to get to know her more. Yeah. And not just like,
her hobbies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Her quirky hobbies, for sure. So Bibiana and Crystal, man, that was some drama. And Crystal, just, she really dug herself in my opinion. And I feel like, I almost feel bad for her because, well, no, hold on. I can't tell if she knows what she's doing and she's purposely trying to kind of manipulate these girls and stir the pot. Or if, I mean, I guess if she had her date with Arya earlier in the week and she hasn't seen him since then, she definitely has the right to be like, hey, like, I had such a great week. Thank you again for taking me on that date. It meant so much to me. Like, I can't wait to see, you know, how our relationship grows.
That's totally fine to pull him aside once and say that. But to go get him again when he's just sitting down with women who haven't gotten a chance at all, I think is just... shows just, like, the lack of consideration for other people.
Yeah, and what makes it harder for me to believe that maybe she's not aware of this is just because of her confessionals and her, you know, just being like, well, like, swinging on her roles. Like, I feel like she was kind of gloating in it a little bit. That's for what sure. made me not feel as bad for her. Or, like, sympathize with where she was coming from, rather.
I think she was just trying to get everyone to see her point of view, I guess, so... I mean, you can't blame her for, like, trying to give her side of the story. However, it obviously wasn't well-received. And that's only her fault.
Yeah.
I think she's just asking for that attention. I mean, she's got to know that the other women in the house are going to react that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, because put into context of where we're at right now. Like, not only did Bibiana not have that time and then she got interrupted, but... four other girls didn't even have a date that week. Jacqueline, right. Lauren S., Lauren B., and Ashley. So there's still, like, a lot of other people in play who didn't get any airtime, and we didn't see anything, so... Yeah.
I think the move that felt very shady was she could have, like, done that and then went off to her room and gotten alone time, but instead she came back and sat right next down to Bibiana.
Yes.
And right was like, I just wanted to make sure that everything was okay.
Jeff,
and it's like, no, you did not.
Exactly. Jeff, how epic was Bibiana's response?
Oh, my gosh. It was funny. I was a little lukewarm on Bibiana, some of the things she did this episode.
Oh,
but like
sure.
you said, Sterling, she redeemed everything at the end of this. It was awesome. She even said mic drop, which was just the best thing I've ever seen.
It was perfect. Yeah. And she said...
I actually wish she didn't say mic drop. Everyone else should say mic drop. Like, yeah, like, she shouldn't say
like
it.
Tia should have been like, mic drop.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That would have been really good. But yeah, no, but Bibiana was saying what the three of us were thinking, and everyone else in that room probably was thinking. And I just loved that, you know, Crystal can say or not say whatever this whole episode, and then the one time she targets Bibiana as her... the person she interrupts and the person she comes down next to Bibiana is like, nope, wrong person.
Part of me thinks that's like definitely produced.
Oh, absolutely.
Because yeah.
And that's why I love it.
Yeah. I mean, look, Bibiana has a mouth on her. She's feisty. And like, I'm sure the producers knew that was just going to set her off after that whole night. So thank you for a really good TV.
You know
for
what?
Like that 5 minutes. Thank you.
You know what I loved about her in this moment though, is that I feel like she said exactly what she needed to say, but she was more composed than she was on the group date.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, good, because it could have gone the wrong way. She could have been like cursing and like freaking out, and then she would have just looked like the crazy jealous person, you know what I mean? But she held it together, said her piece, and applause for Bibiana.
And I was thinking, you know, we don't see everything that happens in the house, obviously, between all of the contestants. And so for her to make some of the points that she made, like, I'm not going to believe this fake stuff that you're doing. Obviously, Crystal acts that way in the house, like, when we're not seeing it, too.
Right.
Like, she had thoughts and those, like, those feelings towards Crystal anyway.
And so do the other women in the house.
Right.
She said it. She's like, other people feel this way. I'm just the voice.
Yeah.
And
when that was so good.
So they've talked about it, too. Yeah. Yep. So it's just great.
Look
it's
at every other girl in
it's
the
just
room.
Phenomenal TV.
Yeah, I mean, they all agree.
They were like, mm-hmm. Tia's face was like, girl, preach. So...
Yeah, there was one moment where Tia was like, yeah, and then she just kind of like sat back down. She's like, I'm not getting involved in this.
Wait, my favorite is Misha C in the chat roll said, that shade was VH1 level of reading without the word hoe being thrown in there. I watch Ratchet TV, lol.
Yeah.
But it's so accurate. I love that.
So good.
You guys, I love, the chat roll is some of my favorite. You guys
What's
are
going
so
on
funny.
There,
guys?
I mean, people are just throwing shade. I think a lot of people agreed.
Those are my kind of people.
Jeff, people are saying you're the best.
I love you guys. I'm here all season. Y'all.
You are the best.
Oh, he
thanks,
is.
Guys.
Bethany said, I thought the attack on Crystal was slightly disgusting. Bethany, please tell us why. A lot of other people are saying, love Bibiana. I like the mic drop. I didn't like the mic drop. So everyone, you know, has their opinions. I feel like they're kind of like us.
Yeah, just back and forth.
Just back and forth.
No idea what we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. But I honestly think that conversation that Bibiana and Crystal had was for sure the highlight of the episode.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Stole the show. It was so great. And then taking us into the actual rose ceremony, we were all so nervous. We're like, is Bibiana going to get a rose? Is she not? Is she going to get a rose? And obviously she did. So the girls who got the rose were Mikkel, which I was very surprised that she got the first rose because we didn't see her at all this episode.
Mm-mm. I was surprised we didn't see her at all in the group date. I couldn't even remember at that point. I was like, wait, was she gone the day? I thought she was one of the four that didn't.
Well, that's what happens when there's 15 people on
exactly.
one day.
Exactly. I mean, not everyone can, you know, be at the front, so.
So Mikkel, Jacqueline, Becca M, Jenna, Chelsea, Lauren S, Tia, Annalise, Lauren B, Kendall, Brittany, Ashley, Marique, Caroline, and Bibiana. And real quick, one thing that I think we forgot to talk about was how shady Ari was when he gave CN the group date rose, but acted like he was going to give it to Chelsea first.
Yes. I feel like that had to be produced as well. Like, the producers be like, okay, pretend like, or like, acknowledge Chelsea too. I just feel like Chelsea's not the one also that you want to like trick into thinking she's going to get a rose and then doesn't.
I don't know if that was producer. Maybe he was just like, listen, like, I really appreciate you opening up and wanted her to know that.
Before he gave it to the real person.
But it was definitely a shady moment for sure.
I said it right off the bat to Christina, he's stirring the pot with that one.
Yeah.
Because she really was like, oh damn. Like,
he was like setting her up and then just completely broke her. Heart.
Yeah, that's that. Well, whatever. He kept her. The girls.
I mean, I'm happy Sian got it.
And so. Also, the girls who did not get chosen for the group date, it was Lauren B, Ashley, Jacqueline, and Lauren S, and they were all, they all got a rose.
Yeah.
So I was happy for that. So at least they all get another chance. That would have been pretty shitty.
I kind of wish we had gotten to see, I mean, I'm sure as the season goes on, we'll get to see them more if they stick around.
Right.
But I kind of wish that we did get a little glimpse into their one-on-one time with him tonight. Because clearly something, there was some sort of connection there for him to decide to keep them.
For sure. The girls that didn't get a rose, and the second best part of the evening.
Yes.
Lauren G., Jenny and Valerie, right? It was just the three of them?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, only three girls. That's sad to be one of those three. I mean, he kept, like, what, 20-something?
Yeah. Like Jenny said, I feel like this is going to be really embarrassing.
It was.
But she made an exit, boy.
I think the exit was probably more embarrassing than the actual being eliminated. But,
No, the exit was amazing. You don't think so? Or do you think she'll be mortified watching it back?
I think she's going to maybe be a little mortified watching it. Maybe not. Maybe that'll be her claim to fame, but I just think it was hilarious.
So she said...
I loved it. I would love for that to happen every time.
So she left without saying goodbye, and then he chased after her, and she was like, no, I'm not sad about leaving you. I'm sad about leaving my friends.
My new friends.
Yeah.
That was so it's so good. But the thing is like, she is sad about leaving him, though. She was just
trying
to...
You gotta be.
She was just trying to be, like, the I don't know. Make him feel small in that moment.
I gotta say, quickly, his hugs were a little creepy, I thought. I did not think he was reading her well. I don't know. I'm interested to see what the comments think, and maybe you guys disagree, but if he were reading her body language right, I do not think he would have gone in for those.
You're saying when he, like, made her give him a hug, say goodbye?
Two times.
Yeah. Someone responded to me on Twitter. I had posted, like, a GIF about Jenny walking out, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they said that that he was kind of being an ass to her and only went back for his, like, ego. And I don't know. I'm curious. Did you guys feel like that, or did you think he actually cared?
No, I think he was genuinely being like, hey, like, I just want to make sure you're leaving, like, and knowing that I can't choose everyone. It wasn't, like, personal. I just didn't see it.
I think he went to console her, and then she was like, can we at least talk? She did say, can we at least talk about it?
Right.
Yeah.
So if she felt that way about her friends, why would she need to talk about it
with him?
She's
going to be embarrassed watching it back, for sure.
Yeah.
She asked to talk about it.
I think it would have been worse had he not gone after her. I don't know what you guys think, because it was very obvious that she, like, shaded him on the way out. And had he been like, if I was the girl standing there who had a rose, I'm like, damn, he would never chase after me either. Had he not gone back.
Yeah,
it's not mean to eliminate people on this show. That's the thing. If he doesn't feel a connection, then there's not a connection.
Right. And I actually respect that he just straight up said that.
Right.
Like, not that we didn't have enough time or whatever, but, like, he's like, I just didn't feel it with you. Yeah. Like, be real.
I respect that.
Yeah. Great intentions. Delivery, maybe not so much from Ari.
He probably shouldn't have tried to hug her twice.
Yeah, but great intentions.
Yeah.
Well,
bring it in.
No, Ari,
bad time.
As Liza in the chat roll said, unfortunately, Valerie, Lauren G, and Jenny just lost their Sugar Bear hair deal in the future.
Did we not say that? We said that too.
Yeah.
Sorry, girl.
She's just really upset about losing the endorsements later. Yeah. Yeah.
No FabFitFun for Jenny.
But maybe this moment will get her something.
Yeah, maybe. You guys, I think that's it. I mean, sorry, Christine.
I am so sorry.
No, we don't have to harp on it, but they did give us a teaser for the Bachelor Winter Games. That's what we should definitely acknowledge.
Absolutely.
It's, we're getting there. We're getting closer. February 13th is when it's going to air. So, thoughts on that?
Yeah. And they released the cast, too, which you guys can find on the ABC website. They have it all up. But it's, like, mm-hmm. Ben Higgins, Ashley I, Dean, mm-hmm. Luke Pell.
Josiah.
Oh, my gosh. Claire,
yeah.
So a little birdie told me that a bunch of the girls from, not a bunch, but a few of the girls from this season will be on the Winter Games.
Oh, okay.
And I guess they just haven't released it yet because obviously they're on this season.
Yeah, it did say more to come.
Yeah.
And there's also a list of the contestants from the international branches of the, I didn't really know.
You guys noticed who wasn't on there? Peter?
Yeah, Peter wasn't on there. Maybe he'll be like a surprise person that shows up.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's on.
The same little birdie told me he wasn't.
Really?
So. Yeah, I don't, but I wonder why. Maybe he just didn't get the money he wanted. He's like, sorry, Mike Fleiss.
Maybe.
Sorry. Like,
yeah, I wonder which end it was.
He's probably playing the long game with ABC.
For sure.
Yeah, like if I go on Winter Games, I probably won't be Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
Yep.
For sure. Honestly, I feel like Mike Fleiss is super controlling with his tweets, and he tries to make you do whatever he wants by tweeting it out.
It's possible.
Very true.
Got a little conspiracy there.
I have a conspiracy theory against Mike Fleiss. Please let me know if you agree. Okay, so we have a lot of things to look forward to. And also next episode of The Bachelor looks like it's going to be a great one, too.
When are we going to meet this ex? That's what I want to know, that they teased.
Yeah, right?
Who is it?
Also, real quick, these are very dangerous group dates. Because next week they're wrestling. And this week, like, Demolition Derby, like... He's like, I hope not all the girls have whiplash. I'm like, okay.
Brittany couldn't even come to the rest of the date. She was
like, poor girl.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you're in the chat room, thanks for chatting with us. Yes. My name's Christina Zias. You can follow me across social media at Miss Zias.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sterling Cates.
And I'm your host, Christine Alexis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Christine Bean. Thanks for tweeting us and watching live with us. We'll be back next week.
See you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.